following is an Auburn Network production. You are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067. Bringing you the insight and passion surrounding Auburn athletics, the SEC, and more. This is what Sports Talk Radio should be. Lock it in right here on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7. Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, with the guys who tell it like it is and hold nothing back. You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7 Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Or is it just Wednesday, everybody? Here, welcome in. You're listening to On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. Jacob sprints out of the studio when he chooses to and then just chooses to open up the door randomly. And so if you want, you can go ahead and do your normal intro now that you're here in the studio sitting down.
Nah, I mean, you already did it. Sure. You handled it. It was an important phone call. It was the owner. I mean, I probably
okay,
had to
well,
take
that's not
that.
Necessarily
the guy
one.
That signs our checks.
Sure.
You know, the guy that keeps us on the air, the reason we do what we do. I figured it was important.
Sure.
You know, people just decide to call between 2 and 4 for some reason.
I mean, it's about similar to as soon as you press live and you put on the headset at live locations.
Classic.
And they come up and ask if you're on the air
yeah.
or ask you a question that you
yeah.
can't answer.
Good stuff, right?
It is good
stuff.
Well, again, happy Wednesday.
Happy Wednesday,
Or just Wednesday.
Or Wednesday. Let's, depending on what context you're talking about. Auburn men's basketball, Wednesday. High
yes.
school basketball, happy Wednesday.
Yes, everything
baseball,
else.
Baseball, happy Wednesday. Olympics, happy Wednesday. Weather, Wednesday.
Baseball
truck
is more
problems.
Like no pressure, but it better be happy
yeah.
Wednesday.
Truck problems for your boy, Wednesday.
Yeah, no, that's Monday.
yeah. 97 pickup is holding on, but golly. It's the classic argument. Do you put money into the old vehicle that you don't have a car payment for, or do you break down and buy something new or newer and have a
use
car payment and
two car payments to for what it would be on the old car?
Yeah, basically. That's where we are. That's the fight we're fighting right now. Family truck, 97. It's awesome. I love it, but gosh, when you got to come off the money like I do sometimes.
When you make enough, problems, what Jacob does, though, it's not really
yeah.
that big of an issue.
Yeah, okay.
Speaks to the truck. But
it's being told they couldn't hear me.
Oh.
I will totally take credit for that. I had the board set up incorrectly from when we were working with it earlier. And
I never looked.
Didn't either. I didn't either. That makes sense, though. So
We can restart this intro if we
yeah, just re-air the intro, restart the show. So maybe from a technical standpoint, Wednesday.
Yeah, I had a conversation with myself essentially for 4 minutes.
They may have heard an echo or me screaming from the other side and maybe picking up from your microphone very briefly. Two separate people said that they couldn't hear us. So
well,
there we go.
Well,
all right. Restart, reset. You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7.
Happy Wednesday or
happy Wednesday
based off of, again, you've heard me talk about it for 4 minutes, just not Jacob. But
we are talking
Auburn basketball to get the afternoon started as they lose their third straight to their second straight at home. Auburn's now 3-3 inside of Neville Arena. We have obviously thoughts on that game. We have thoughts on some of the comments that the announcers made in that stadium last night that are not necessarily ones that you like to hear, but ones that, Jacob, I know you have vocalized a lot when it comes to the football side of things. We've had major conversations on Jordan Hare and Neville Arena that, again, the announcers told everybody about last night that we need to discuss a little bit. We're talking about the games in the top 25 and in the SEC from last night. Before we get to Jordan Hill of Dogs 24-7, as Georgia gets back in the win column with a win over LSU, And they welcome in the Florida Gators tonight. And so a tall task for Coach Mike White. So we'll be interested to see what the Georgia Bulldogs need to do. Maybe take a look at bracketology in there. And again, hit baseball on the way out. Know that he doesn't cover it, but I always want to shout out the Georgia Bulldogs on the baseball diamond in there as well. And then to start hour number two, we got our guy Daryl Daprich of Locked On Auburn and The Barn to join us. I'm sure we might have a Dap rant. We might be able to turn off our mics for a little bit and just let him roll with the frustrations and the emotions that continue to build with the Auburn basketball season. And then no pressure, but baseball, please save us.
Yeah, we need baseball to be good. And I think it will, and we're excited to have that as well. And hey, if you missed it yesterday, speaking of baseball, as we get started on the show today, we had Butch Thompson on with us yesterday afternoon. And so if you missed that, be sure to go back and listen to the podcast version of the show at ESPNAU.com.
We promise the board is set up correctly, too, so you can actually hear that interview.
True. Text box is wild right now. Active, super active. Spectre tells me to invest in the truck because that's what makes it a that's how they become vintage. He said invest in the truck and drive it while you can. So
and I mean, in like 10 or 15 years, when that truck is sitting around and it becomes memorabilia of, I mean, the voice of Auburn High, host of On the Line, I mean, when people find out that that was the vehicle of Mr. Jacob Goins, the seat might go for more than what it's worth. The passenger seats, the hood just hangs up in the garage wherever it needs to. Someone will
mean, for the voice of Auburn High to have a truck that's not blue, I don't know how people feel about that. I'm not going to share what color. I've had two trucks my whole life. They've both been red. So it is what it is, man. The first one was like a dark red, not crimson red, but a dark red. And by the time it was done, it was so sun bleached that it was purple. Basically, this one is still, it's still rocking and rolling, but you know, that's how it goes. Again, it's the argument of, do you invest in the old vehicle that you don't have a payment on, or do you break down and get something new? And eventually I am going to get something new, but
thankfully my questions are my debate that I had, that was about 6 to 8 months ago that I had to go through that debate.
Yeah, so it's not fun.
It's not.
It's not. But that's okay. That's how today has gone, but it's okay because there's so much to get to, as we've talked about. And hey, phone lines are open. Give us a call. We want to hear from you on this Wednesday afternoon, 334-321-1390. That number again, 334-321-1390. Your thoughts on Auburn losing last night on the hardwood to the Vanderbilt Commodores, the third loss in a row for Auburn, the third home loss in SEC play for Auburn this season as well. You can give us a call at 334-784-1067 is the text box number as well. You can get in there, or again, give us a call at 334-321-1390. And it looks like we're starting hot on the phone lines as well, huh?
We do. We got Spectre maybe giving some more truck advice.
Come on, Spectre, talk to me, my man.
All right, here you go. You need to keep that truck no matter what.
Yeah.
Let me tell you why. I got three vehicles, and one of them is a red Ford F-150 95.
Okay, nice.
And I ain't getting rid of it.
Love
it. You know, if you don't even look for trading it in on a new vehicle,
no.
They're not going to give you squat for it. So you might as well keep it, hang on to it, because you never know when you need a truck. You always need a truck.
That's right.
But I just want to let you know that, you know, classics become vintage cars after a while.
That's right.
And like Christian was saying, hey, one day you'd be the voice of Auburn. Somebody's going to say, hey, that was his truck.
I mean, maybe so. Maybe so. Y'all are making my head too big on this Wednesday.
All right, I just want to add that.
I appreciate it, Inspector. Good to hear from you. We appreciate you listening. 334-321-1390. No, it's a family truck, man. It's not going anywhere. And, yeah, like you said, trading in cars nowadays, you don't get anything
for it.
So, no, not worried about that. But what I am worried about is Auburn basketball, who, as I said, lost their third game in a row last night, their third home SEC loss this season, and the Tigers now have to turn around and head to Fayetteville this weekend to try and figure it out, which we'll get to that as we go. But Christian, last night was bad.
Yeah.
Last night was bad for this Auburn team. Another game where you start out letting the opposing team make shots. You start out letting the opposing team go on a run. to the point that Auburn had the lead in this game for a whopping 20 seconds. And Vanderbilt led a 40-minute basketball game for 38 minutes. Auburn played from behind. After the first 20 seconds, they played from behind the rest of the way and had no answer to what Vanderbilt was doing. Auburn's defense let them down again. This was not a game. I know Auburn didn't put up 80 to 90 points, but this was not a game that Auburn's offense let them down for the most part. Shooting wasn't great. Shooting numbers for some individuals wasn't great. But I think the performance you put on for 40 minutes offensively was good enough to win. You were just playing from behind the entire time. And Auburn's defense in back-to-back games, after being challenged by their head coach defensively on Saturday night, their defense let them down again.
And one of the biggest things in, I guess, challenging the thoughts that Steven had with us post-game was talking about tonight the energy was there, but the execution wasn't. I don't know that I feel that way. From the floor into the stands, there were times, there were sparks, but the fact that it gets to the point of where you're down 10 or you're down 12 for there to feel like there needs to be some sort of mental change that happens to allow you to get back into the contest. And then as soon as you get it back to 6 points or 4 points, there's one mental lapse that happens, whether that's the offensive side of the floor or the defensive side of the floor. And that one play then snowballs into 2 more minutes and you look right back up at the score. And 4 more minutes had gone by since the start of the Auburn run, and you're right back to where you started.
And I feel like with this team, too, in the game last night in particular, because so many of us were talking in the media section there at Neville, where in that second half, you were down by, 8, 10, 12, 14, right at one point. And I made the comment, it's like, it's obvious, yes, but it's like, man, this Auburn team could go on a 10-0 run and still be losing.
Yeah.
But I feel like the issue is the team is thinking that way. And that sounds so elementary. It sounds so unfair at times because they're humans too, right? They're young adults. It's hard not to look at a major deficit, a major challenge, and not look at it entirely and get intimidated by that. But I felt like last night Auburn did. I feel like there was never a time, even on the one or two little runs that Auburn went on in the second half, thanks to guys like Tahad Pettiford and Keyshawn Murphy and Sway and KO, there was never a moment I felt like Auburn was going to come back and win that basketball game.
And that's what's really intimidating about just the rest of the season as a whole. It almost felt as if the two teams played as if Vanderbilt was the home team, right? The home team was up by 11 at halftime, got out to a little bit more of a lead in the second half, but it said, okay, but you know, when you're the home team, okay, you know that road team is going to go on a run. Mm-hmm. You have to be able to answer it. Auburn, in fact, went on 2 runs, but right to where you were talking about, if it's a 12-point game, Auburn goes on a 6-0 run, all of a sudden it's down to 6, and then back-to-back buckets for Vanderbilt, and next thing you know, you've wasted 3 minutes for 2 points, or for a singular bucket, and man, it just continues to add a little bit of the frustration, and you feel like that happened and worked all the way down to Steven in the press conference, where it feels like he just kind of looked lost about what to do with this team.
Yeah, so Auburn again loses to Vanderbilt 84-76 last night inside of Neville Arena. We want to hear your thoughts and calling in 334-321-1390, or the text box is open as well at 334-784-1067. And I'll say this about that Vanderbilt team too, right? They were up by 11 at the half, which that in itself to me is unacceptable. Something that Auburn just simply can't have is being down double digits on your home floor right at the half, 42-31. That was a combination of Vanderbilt shooting the basketball very well in the first half, okay?
Especially from three.
Yeah, they did. I mean, the first half, Vanderbilt shot 6 of 13 from deep. But how many of those were defensive breakdowns and wide open. Four of the six in the first half.
I believe going back,
including the very opening possession of the game,
which Steven has talked about in back-to-back games, of a defensive lapse leads to a wide open three and the confidence just continuing to grow from that standpoint. In the 60 minutes prior to the second half, teams inside Neville Arena over the last two games were 18 of 36 from three.
Yeah, and
with all of five of those being contested.
Yeah, in the game against Alabama in the first half against Vanderbilt.
Again, a couple of tough shots. The Aiden three, LeBaron hit a couple of really tough threes, and Tanner hit a couple. I believe the one that he hit, the really contested one, was in the second half. But other than that,
just defensive breakdowns.
I mean, you have
man.
Times to take two dribbles, catch your breath, and eat dinner before the defense even chooses to try and contest.
Yeah. Auburn down by 11 at the half on their own floor. And Vanderbilt, we're getting into Andy here in just a moment. I commend Vanderbilt for how they played that second half. They scored 42 points in both halves, but both halves felt completely different.
Very much so.
The first half was knockdown shots and just put you away. Second half was slow, methodical, and just waste time, but still be effective on the offensive end of the floor.
Yeah, and that's what we talk about both with Lee Scott and Auburn High, is when you get up in that second half, the ability to burn 20, 30, 40 seconds because of no shot clock in high school, but to be able to run a set, run a motion offense, and get a bucket at the rim, so next thing you know, next team has the basketball and 45 seconds have gone by, and at the worst, it's the same score. If not, you continue to grow the lead.
334-321-1390. Andy, you're on the line, my man. It's good to hear from you. Been a little bit.
It has. Hey, War Eagle. Andy got to go to a game last night. When I get to go, unfortunately, the teams aren't doing too well, but, you know.
It's not you, is it, Andy?
What's that?
I said, it's not you, is it?
No, they have to be doing bad for me to, you know, for the price of the game. you know, I used to love going to the games, especially when Coach Pearl got here and I could afford to go to the games. I loved, and we weren't that good, I loved going and just watching him. And it was just so much fun, and he was just so dynamic and like a cartoon character. And I'm loyal to his son just because of his dad, at least for 2 to 3 years. But he is nothing to watch. He looked so lost out there. And I know it's his first year, but he's been doing this for a while. I noticed right off the bat that we were still broken from Alabama. Just the way we're playing. I had pretty good seats, so I was getting to see mouths and move and hear what they're saying, and a couple of our players were arguing with each other and not on good terms and not having good chemistry. We had a couple of Auburn players taunt them to shoot threes, and they did it right in front of their face. And then number 13, holy, if I can say one thing about going to Auburn game, I don't care if it's Mississippi State or Queens, there's always one guy on the opposing team. And I watch basketball, I watch Duke, I watch that, you know, usually teams, you know, do well, but when I'm at an Auburn game, there's always one guy that just is, we turn into a, you know, a god. And number 13, I don't think he missed a shot, man. He was you know, coming in, he was slam dunking, he was hitting every three, but 13, I mean, and then the refs. You have to admit the refs were, and I hate using that, but the refs have been pretty rough here lately, and last night, we did some pretty aggressive stuff at the end that they weren't calling, which was really confusing.
Right. A lot of inconsistencies, Andy, with the officiating. That's what gets us so frustrated more than anything else, is the inconsistencies.
I mean, do you remember when, what's the foreigner boy?
For us? For Phillip?
Yeah. No, the foreign guy.
For us or for Vanderbilt?
For us, the foreign guy.
Yeah, Phillip Jovich.
Jovich, yeah. When he got fouled pretty bad, he started kind of, he did all those hand movements.
Oh, yeah.
Slapping it. I mean, that poor guy was so frustrated. I thought he was going to kill someone. But yeah, I mean, I think that's what really hurt. I mean, 13 was hitting everything. And then when we'd start getting a little momentum, we'd get a foul. I mean, it was, you could set your watch to it. It was pretty frustrating. So Like to listen to more of what you got to say about that. But, yeah, we made 13 Quad God's big brother.
Appreciate the call, Andy. Good to hear from you, my friend. 334-321-1390. Phone lines are open for the next 10 minutes or so. Jalen Washington is who he is talking about. Yeah. 12 points.
He did miss one.
He did. He went 4-for-5 from the floor, 2-for-2 from deep, also 2-for-2 from the free throw line. And again, Vanderbilt just shot very well last night. But a lot of good points there from Andy. Some good points on our text box as well. We do need to get to our first break. Here in hour number one, we continue talking Auburn basketball versus Vanderbilt right after this.
This is Ian Fitzsimmons from ESPN Radio, and you're listening to On the Line with Jacob Goins on Auburn Opelika Sports Leader, ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. If you want to be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067.
All right, we're back here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. We got another segment here before our man Jordan Hill of Dogs 247 will join us, as he does every Wednesday at 2:30. We'll get caught up on everything going on in Georgia athletics, including Georgia basketball, who is one of those teams, Christian, that's just kind of in the mix of the SEC. They're in the tournament. They're trying to compete for a title. I mean, they're just kind of there. Sound familiar, right? And we'll talk to Jordan about that coming up here in just a little bit. But talking more Auburn and Vanderbilt. Again, phone lines are open for the next 3 or 4 minutes. If you have thoughts and want to get them out over the air, we'd love to hear from you. 334-321-1390. Auburn losing to Vanderbilt, 84-76. Text box is open as well at 334-784-1067. This texter getting a little ahead of us here, but I do want to bring it up. Says that Auburn must, in all capital letters, must win at least 4 of the final 7 games or we will not be in the tournament. Your thoughts on where Auburn stands right now? Again, we'll break down this game more, the rest of the schedule as well, since Auburn heads to Fayetteville this Saturday for a game against a top 25 Arkansas team on a 3-game losing streak as Auburn. But Texter says Auburn needs to win 4 of their last 7 to make the big dance.
I mean, the tournament, I mean, if that's the SEC tournament, yeah. I mean, there's another tournament that used to not be frowned upon as much, the not invited tournament.
Ah, the not invited tournament, the not in tournament.
Yeah. I mean, that's, but no, I do agree. And it's unfortunate that we're at this point that we talked about all week leading up to the Alabama game. Of what cannot happen is a 4-game losing streak. And you've now suffered 3 straight and another tough opponent on the road at Arkansas, who you know is going to be up for this game after getting embarrassed on the road inside Neville Arena. You're staring down the barrel now of what we said could not happen based off of what you needed it to look like in those final 6 or so games. After that standpoint, with Mississippi State, Kentucky, OU, Ole Miss, LSU, and then on the road at Alabama, these were the spots right now. You have a couple other ones with Arkansas and Kentucky now into the top 25 as well, but you had a couple really, really good opportunities to boost your resume, and Stephen Pearl talked about it last night in the post game, saying we're running out of opportunities.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate, too, that we're at this point of having to count games and count wins and try to have these hypothetical conversations because, you know, last year we didn't, right? Last year it was, man, Auburn's on a win streak. Here we go. How high can the Tigers go? Are they truly a 1 seed? Are they the 1 seed? Like, those were the conversations we were having last year. And now, here we are, halfway through February, and everything is still
undecided.
Undecided. Yeah, that's a good word. I was trying to figure out what I wanted to use. Undecided is a great word. Everything is still undecided, murky, and kind of a gray area because, I mean, who's to say Auburn doesn't just crumble? Who's to say Auburn just can't figure it out? And they let this thing snowball. They let it build. I think Andy used snowball a minute ago. Like, who's to say that if they go on a 4-game losing streak here and have to walk into the hump next Wednesday, that they win that game.
At 8 o'clock on ESPN2.
And then Kentucky on your home floor, and then a sneaky game against Oklahoma in Norman. Right?
These games that we had penciled in, not quite sharpied in, but penciled in as wins and must wins.
They're looking a whole lot scarier right now.
What happens if you drop two of them?
That's what I'm saying, and that's what this texter's saying too, is winning four of your next seven. Didn't specify which four, but... God, I don't know, man. Auburn is in a tough spot right now. According to the net, you're still 32nd in the country, okay, according to the net rankings. Your quad one record is not good.
I believe it's now 4-9.
4-9, but you've got the volume, which will keep you above water, I think. I think your quad one amount will keep Auburn above water. Nobody's playing more quad one games than Auburn right now.
I think it will, unless that number gets to... 4-13 or 4-4. You know, if you get to that point,
maybe
then you're looking at the number of losses. Because if you're looking at 5-8 or you're 7-10 in quad one games, that is understandable based off of the volume. But you almost at that point start looking at some of the wins as being outliers rather than the losses.
Yeah. I mean, you're looking for wins that you can prove to the tournament committee we belong and can win some games in the tournament, right? And that's where our heads have gone, is we need to see from this Auburn team right now more than ever that they can hang and compete with tournament teams. Vanderbilt last night was an opportunity. Alabama last Saturday was an opportunity. Tennessee last Saturday, the previous Saturday, was an opportunity. And this coming weekend against Arkansas is an opportunity, too. And the problem is you're running out of them. You've got three games against tournament teams left. Ole Miss, maybe, if they sneak in somehow. But what have we seen in the past three games that Auburn's just going to figure it out here down the stretch? So... more on that as we go, and there's more to talk about when it comes to Auburn losing to Vanderbilt last night, but we take a sidestep, and when we come back, we go to Athens, and we talk about the Georgia Bulldogs, who they're kind of in that mixture, too, of the SEC. Jordan Hill of Dogs 247, he joins us next.
You're 30 minutes into On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Now back to the studio with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
30 minutes into the Wednesday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. He is Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins. We appreciate you being with us. And we get to the phone lines and welcome in our first guest of the day, a guy that is allowing us to step aside from the Auburn conversation and talk a little Georgia, talk a little Dogs, as we do every single Wednesday at 2:30 to get the latest updates from Athens, Georgia. Our man Jordan Hill of Dogs 247. Man, it's great to talk to you once again, and hope everything is good on your side of town.
Absolutely appreciate you guys having me back on. A lot to get into, as we've kind of hit the home stretch of SEC play, as hard as that is to believe. But happy to catch up with you guys and talk about everything going on.
Yeah, well, there's so much to talk about with Georgia, and our conversation will be dominated by basketball, of course, with limited football news and baseball getting started. I know one of your other writers there at Dogs 247 does the majority of the baseball coverage, but Georgia, finally, off of a three-game losing streak. We know nothing about that here in town, as they lost to Texas, Tennessee, and Texas A&M, but they get right with a win on the road at LSU by 12. What'd you see in that game in particular, plus what Georgia's been up to the last several games?
Yeah, Mike White spoke about how big that win was, and I really thought, guys, that was a must win, which is not easy having to go on the road, really no matter which SEC team you're playing. And Georgia kind of started slow in that game on Saturday, but I thought they finished the first half really strong and carried that into the second half and delivered what Georgia had to have. I think they ended up shooting right around 50% from the field. They out-rebounded LSU. That's only the fourth time in SEC play they've out-rebounded an opponent. Did a good job of turning LSU over. They had 23 points off of turnovers. And, yeah, I mean, I thought that was the ultimate get-right game for Georgia. You know, mentioning those losses to Texas, to Tennessee, to Texas A&M. Mike White talked to us since the LSU game and said, you know, in all three of those games, Georgia had their chances. And he's absolutely correct. They were up 7 in Austin at halftime, and then Texas comes out, shoots the lights out, and wins that game. Tennessee, they take to overtime despite being out-rebounded by a large margin. And then Texas A&M, I mean, they opened that game 22-2. Granted, Georgia did a good job fighting back and at least made it competitive, but never really could overcome that slow start. So they had to have that LSU one, in my opinion, because of what's ahead. And it really starts tonight with Florida coming to town. You know, the hottest team in the SEC got a case for one of the hottest teams in college basketball. Had they lost that game to LSU, you know, looking at a 4-game losing streak with Florida coming into town, that would have been really tough when you talk about Georgia as an NCAA tournament bubble team right now. Had to have that one in Baton Rouge, and credit to the team. They started slow, but they bounced back and they finished strong.
The Dogs are 17-6, 5-5 in conference play. And you mentioned Jordan really needing that win at LSU with the way the net system and the quad one systems work. It's a quad one win for the Georgia Bulldogs. And as much as it hurts to look at the quad two, it's now a quad two win over Auburn, which doesn't make anybody really feel good here in Auburn. But Georgia 3-4 in quad one games, but 4 of your next 5, as you mentioned, Florida gets things started before you go on the road to Oklahoma, on the road to Texas, a quad two win or game against Texas, and then a Vanderbilt game on the road. What does Georgia really need to do, whether that's tonight or looking down this really tough stretch for Georgia trying to get their way solidly into the postseason?
Well, you know, it's kind of hard to know the rest of the bubble. You know, you are going to have to kind of look at the other teams and what they're doing. But I think for Georgia to feel good, I think they need to end up with 9 SEC wins, which would be 4 more wins in the regular season. And I think it's very much there, but they've just got to take advantage. Again, this Florida game tonight, I don't anticipate it's going to go well for Georgia, especially with Tuesday's news that Jeremiah Wilkinson, the top scorer on the team, is going to be out of this one. Shared with the folks over on dogs247.com that it's a shoulder injury. I don't think it's going to be something they got to worry about long term, but not going to have him. And I really look at these next 2 Saturdays as being pivotal for Georgia. They're going to go to Oklahoma this Saturday, an Oklahoma team that beat Vanderbilt. That was one of the wilder games on last Saturday.
Yeah.
And they don't have a midweek game. And I think that's something very significant given that Georgia's got to go on the road. But you got that game in Norman, and then the next Saturday, Texas comes to town. And that's a Texas team, as I mentioned a few minutes ago. Georgia led at halftime in Austin and then just couldn't slow Texas down. If Georgia can split those two, I think they're in pretty good shape when we're looking at trying to get 4 more SEC wins, trying to take advantage of what's left on the schedule. If you win both of those, I think you feel really good. You lose both of those, it's going to be an uphill battle. You may have to pull off an upset with some really tough games still left in the regular season.
Jordan Hill of Dogs 247 here with us on ESPN 106.7. Bracketology from Joe Lenardi right now has 10 teams from the Southeastern Conference in to the NCAA tournament. And Jordan, we've talked about it this week. Christian and I have. I just don't think I feel confident in that. Georgia being a last 4 bye right now, so kind of hovering there on the bubble, but just talking as the conference as a whole, I just don't feel confident in the conference getting 10 teams, solidly in the tournament. I don't know. I don't feel good about that. I don't know where you stand there, but 10 teams right now seems to be a lot for the SEC.
I think 10 is probably max, and again, it's kind of hard to know. You know, who's going to beat up on who these next couple of weeks, you know, how it's all going to play out. But no, I understand totally where you're coming from, Jacob. I don't think you can sit here and confidently say they're getting 10 in. And, you know, on one side, I will say that I was surprised they got as many as they did last year. There was a couple of the SEC teams that got in that, frankly, I didn't think deserved to be in. So maybe that winds up playing to the SEC's advantage, but no. I'm with you. I totally understand where you're coming from in saying that 10 is probably a stretch. And that's why it's so important for a team like Georgia to take advantage of some of these games coming up, because there's several of these games that are going to be very difficult. You definitely can't say, oh, you should be confident in that with Florida coming to town. You go to Kentucky, you go to Vanderbilt, you got Alabama coming to town. I think if you're Georgia, you don't feel great about those games, which makes that game at Oklahoma, which makes the game against Texas in Athens, which makes the regular season finale at Mississippi State. there are opportunities. You got to take advantage of those because you certainly do not want to be sweating at going to the conference tournament in Nashville, because we've seen several years, guys, where it just seems like the committee does not care at all about what happens in the conference tournament.
Which is so wild to me. And I don't know when or why that really became a thing, but you're spot on, Jordan, that the SEC tournament, we talk about it and have for several years. It's in Georgia and, heck, Auburn, I guess, if things don't turn around, could both be in that scenario where you do not want your NCAA tournament live to be in the hands of the committee, or at least up for grabs or up for interpretation, if you will, heading into a conference tournament, because you're spot on. They have proven in years past, they being the NCAA tournament committee, that they don't care what happens in Nashville. So you do not want your tournament, I guess, life to be in doubt when you head to Nashville.
Absolutely not. I'm trying to remember off the top of my head a few years ago, when Texas A&M, I think, made it all the way to the conference tournament championship game.
Yep.
And that did not help them get in. So, yeah, I think if you are banking on getting help from the conference tournament championship, you darn sure better win the conference tournament, because otherwise you're probably, leaning on something that is not very bankable just based on what we've seen in previous years.
We've mentioned this game coming up tonight. Again, our man Jordan Hill of Dogs 247 with us on the phone lines here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line. 6 o'clock start, ESPN2 there in Athens. I assume you'll be there, my friend, when the 14th ranked Gators come to town. Biggest keys tonight for Georgia to get what would probably be, I would say, their best win of the season at this point, wouldn't you?
Absolutely. No doubt that this would be Georgia's biggest win if they can make it happen. And yeah, I will be there, and pretty simple as far as the biggest key. They've just got to hold their own as far as rebounding and the battle on the glass, because that's just something Georgia's really struggled at this year. And even in saying hold their own, I'm saying stay within 15 of Florida on the boards.
Wow.
I think if you do that, that could be enough, because it wasn't that long ago that Tennessee out-rebounded Georgia by 25, and that game still went to overtime. And Mike White talked about that after the game. Just imagine if that margin was a little bit smaller, Georgia probably wins that game. So that's a big one. They're going to have a big game from Smurf Millender. Again, I mentioned Jeremiah Wilkinson not going to be playing, dealing with a shoulder injury, so they're going to need some of their other scorers to step up. Really going to be watching Samto Cyril. He was a guy that got tossed out of the first game against Florida down in Gainesville about halfway through the first half. He's, again, pivotal in that rebounding battle, and trying to get him feeling good and trying to get him being very productive, not only as a rebounder but as a scorer, because when he gets going, it is going to be it's very dangerous, and you just know how dangerous Florida's bigs are. And the other thing that I would say is just to pay attention to Georgia's ability to turn Florida over. This Georgia team has been at its best when it's dictated the pace and when it's had those fast break opportunities. I want to see how aggressive Georgia decides to be. If they really try to press hard, if they really try to go after Florida, try to knock the ball out, try to get those opportunities, scoring off of turnovers. The more opportunities you have to do that, I think the better chance Georgia has against the Florida team, guys, that I really feel like right now is the class of the SEC, and I think have kind of distanced themselves from the rest of the pack making this race right now in the SEC.
One of the few games in the league tonight, but one of the big games in the league tonight. Florida and Georgia against 6 o'clock on ESPN2. Alabama is in Ole Miss tonight as well. That one should be a lot of fun. Tennessee heads to Stark Vegas, and then Missouri heads to College Station to take on Texas A&M. Jordan, before we let you go, my friend, the one football update we do have is Georgia having several guys for football competing, or I guess making an appearance, rather, in the NFL Draft Combine. What can you tell us about that with the draft quickly approaching here in early April?
Yeah, hard to believe, but we're only a few weeks away from the combine in Indianapolis. Georgia going to have 10 players there. A lot of the folks that we were expecting from this draft class, some of the bigger names, offensive tackle Monroe Freeling, I think he's got a real chance to be a first-round pick. Linebacker C.J. Allen, receiver Zachariah Branch, and again, several more that will be competing there. And really interested to see what that top group does. Again, I could see Georgia maybe having two guys drafted in that first round, and Zachariah Branch has a huge combine. Maybe he sneaks in as well. But Georgia's had a good track record when it's come to the combine these last few years. I believe they had 14 there last year. So a great opportunity not only for some of those top guys, but some of the other guys that I think could go there and work out well. Defensive tackle Christian Miller, tight end Oscar Delp. This has been an event, an opportunity that a lot of Georgia players have taken advantage of in the past few years. So really interested to see that. That'll be that last week in February. And again, hard to believe we're really not that far away from the NFL draft.
Yeah.
And I think this is a draft class that's not quite as big as some of the ones we've seen from Georgia the last few years. But I think it's got a lot of talent. I think you're going to hear several dogs' names once we get to that draft in April.
Well, there's nobody that covers Georgia better than you do, my friend. Jordan Hill of Dogs 247, our weekly guest, Wednesday afternoons, 2:30, here on ESPN 106.7. And, man, we always appreciate your time. I know there's a ton going on. We're excited to see the backstretch of SEC play. And if Georgia becomes a tournament team solidly, Auburn right there with them, too. So we'll see how all of that goes. But tell the people how they can find you and all your great content at Dogs 247.
Definitely dogswing47.com, on Twitter at Jordan Davis Hill, on Twitter at dogswing47. A lot going on. Men's basketball tonight. Baseball starting Friday. They play Wright State. We've got Olivia Sayer who covers baseball for us. I even wrote a women's tennis story earlier this week. Shout out to the Bulldogs. They won the indoor national title for the second straight year, and very competitive match against Ohio State that came down to the wire. So we got that. We're probably about a month away from spring practice, so a lot still going on, but we like it. We like staying busy and having stuff to talk about with everybody on the Junkyard, and hope the folks listening will check it out and get ready, because before you know it, we'll be talking Georgia football again and getting ready for another season.
Jordan, appreciate it as always, my man. Enjoy the rest of the week. Enjoy the game tonight, and we'll talk to you again next Wednesday.
All right, sounds great. Thanks, guys.
Jordan Hill, Dogs 247. Check it out for all your Georgia coverage. Again, they are in line there and in pairing with 247 Sports. Of course, we love the Auburn guys who are friends of the station, the Auburn 247 guys. So they're all in conjunction, so go check them out. Again, Jordan covers Georgia on a daily basis, so go get all your information from him. We'll take a break. We'll come back and wrap up hour number one right after this.
This is Coach Stephen Pearl, and you're on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin, online at ESPNAU.com and on the Radio Alabama app.
All right, wrapping up hour number one here on ESPN 106.7 as we have a couple of minutes before we get to the start of hour number two, where Darryl Dapperts of Locked On Auburn in the Barn will be joining us to talk all things Auburn athletics. We'll get some basketball thoughts from him as Auburn on a three-game losing streak. May dip into a little bit of baseball as well since opening weekend on the plane starts on Friday, which is insane. So we'll talk to Double D coming up at 3:05. He'll join us till about 3:20 or so. And then we'll talk a little bit more baseball. We have a starting rotation for this weekend. Yeah. So very excited for that. And then we'll have some fun at 3:30. I'll dip out a hair early to go call Auburn High basketball, but more on that in just a little bit. But Auburn was not the only team in action last night, Christian, across college basketball. There were some other big teams, other big games as well. The Hogs went on the road to LSU and just annihilated them. So that's what Auburn wanted, right, was to lose on their home floor and watch their opponent this weekend win by almost 30 in the SEC. So that was exciting.
That's a, yeah, just a little confidence boost that makes it to where, you know, they're complacent, right?
Yeah. The teams at the top last night of the top 25, they rolled. Houston beat Utah. Duke beat Pitt. And then there's Iowa State, who did not roll.
No.
And went on the road to TCU. You're like, TCU? Haven't heard about them in basketball. Yeah, well, they were 14-9 going into this game, and they were 5-5 in Big 12 play.
TCU, though, is very similar to UCF from a standpoint of they haven't gotten those big-time wins, but, man, they have had some really, really – it hurts to say, but some really good and really close losses. They lost to Michigan by four. They lost to Kansas by four. They were in it with Arizona until the under four timeout. Arizona pulled away to win by 13. They only lost to six at BYU, and so lost by nine to Houston. And so a team that hasn't gotten all of those big wins, but that's clearly their biggest one of the season.
Yeah, 62-55. They go on a 12-0 run at the end of that game, does TCU, to win it against number five, Iowa State. Game of the night. Well, I don't know. There were a couple.
One of the two.
There were a couple good games last night. Miami takes down North Carolina. Miami, 19-5, 8-3 in ACC play. Before that win last night, they were a bubble team.
Yeah, they were a play-in game.
They beat North Carolina, who is coming off the emotional win against Duke, where they never led until the final buzzer on the three-pointer.
Yeah, led for 0.3 seconds, and that's because the officials put 0.3 back on the clock.
How about Wisconsin? Great win for Wisconsin last night. On the road in Champaign, they take down number 8 Illinois, 92-90 in overtime. Illinois was without their two best scorers in that game, so keep that in mind. I still really like that Illinois team.
The three-point line for these teams, holy cow.
Oh, it was stupid.
Wisconsin was 16 of 36. They made 33 field goals, so almost half of their makes were from behind the arc. Illinois was 32 of 60 from the field. They were 15 of 33 from behind the arc. I made 31 of the 69 threes that they shot.
That's ridiculous. So Wisconsin gets a big win there in the Big Ten. And we stay in the Big Ten for just a moment because another game in that conference that went to overtime last night, Purdue and Nebraska. If I were to ask a blind sports fan, hey, which team is ranked higher, Purdue or Nebraska in basketball, you would say Purdue. Easily. Wrong. Purdue's 13. Nebraska is the 7th ranked team in the country. Probably not anymore. Purdue goes on the road, wins at 80-77. Boilermakers were up by 16 at the half, Christian Griffin. And Nebraska responds, outscoring them 44-28 in the second half. This game was down to the wire, and Purdue holds on 80-77 in OT.
Yeah, if we tell you that Purdue wins in overtime, you think, okay, it was a pretty good game. Yeah, well, Purdue was up 22 points. 5 minutes into the second quarter, or the second half, rather.
Yeah.
Nebraska just slowly chipped their way back into it, but just couldn't get it done. Oscar Clough and Braden Smith kind of took over down the stretch. Braden Smith didn't shoot it well, but 13 points, 8 rebounds, and 10 assists on the night on the road.
And then there's A.J. DeBonsta, who is the best player in college basketball. Went on the road to Baylor last night, who's not a good basketball team. But AJ's a pretty darn good player. 36 points, 7 assists, 5 rebounds last night, and only one turnover for the nation's best player at BYU. 36 bomb. They dropped 99 on Baylor and beat him by 5.
And plays basketball the way that analytics tell you not to. That man made like 8 mid-range jumpers.
The worst statistical shot in basketball, and he said, that's cool. Watch this. College basketball, it was awesome last night. It'll be awesome tonight, too. We talk to Double D, Daryl Napperich, right after this.
The following is an Auburn Network production. Are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067. Bringing you the insight and passion surrounding Auburn athletics, the SEC, and more. This is what sports talk radio should be. Lock it in right here on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7. Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, with the guys who tell it like it is and hold nothing back. You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn, Opelika, sports leader. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Hope you're doing well as we get underway here in hour number two during On the Line on ESPN 106.7. It is the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. He is Christian Griffin, and we appreciate you being with us here on ESPN this afternoon. And, hey, if you missed any of the first hour, we had a lot of fun. It talked a lot about Auburn basketball as they fall on their home floor. Not on the road, on their home floor to Vanderbilt. Third loss in a row, third SEC home loss this season as well. Talked about that result from last night, plus some of the other games that happened around college basketball, and we also talked to Jordan Hill of Dogs 247 to get the latest updates on Georgia basketball, who takes on Florida tonight, which could be a sneaky good game if the Dogs can hang around and keep it close. And I don't know, pick your poison on which big guy's going to go off for Florida tonight. Yeah. But all of that was in the first hour of today's show, so if you missed it, you can always go back, listen to the podcast version of the show wherever you get your podcast, or the best way to find it is on our station website at ESPNAU.com.
Here in hour number two, we're about to get our guy, Double D, Daryl Dapprich of Locked On Auburn and the Barn, here with us on the phone lines. Get his thoughts from last night, get his thoughts from the Alabama game as well, and just this three-game skid that Stephen Pearl and the guys are going through on the hardwood. We're also going to talk a little bit more SEC baseball to finish up the show here this afternoon, because no pressure, but baseball, we need you.
Yeah.
And we need you very badly. But just how dominant is the SEC in baseball in 2026? I mean, it's absolutely stupid. It is insane to look at. We said it on the way out yesterday about the number of teams in the top 10, the number of teams in the top 25, and the preseason rankings. And just to show you how good the conference is as a whole, very similar to what you saw last year. However, Auburn was one of those teams that wasn't in the top 25, yet made a run and became the fourth national seed in college baseball. And so we got all of that here in hour number two. We're about to get Daryl Dapprich on the phone lines, but the text box is always open at 334-784-1067.
Yeah, and I have a feeling that Double D is going to have some things to say about this Auburn basketball team, who again loses to Vanderbilt last night, 84-76. Inside of Neville Arena. Tyler Tanner goes off for 25.6 assists as well. Tahad Pettiford got 21. And Keyshawn Hall seems to be the biggest storyline right now for this Auburn team, because he did not shoot well. He also didn't play very much down the stretch. After his technical foul, he was not put back in the basketball game. He did not return. He did not play the rest of the way. And Auburn actually had a little bit of a spark with him not on the floor, which is kind of crazy. And asked Stephen Pearl about it last night, and he said it was a coach's decision, and they were starting to get a little flow. And so they decided to leave Keyshawn Hall on the bench, and Auburn still comes up short against Vanderbilt. And so we've talked about it a lot, but we want this guy to talk about it a little bit more as well, as Auburn falls 84-76 to the Commodores. We get to the phone lines right now and welcome in our second guest of the day, Double D, Daryl Dapprich, joining us for Double D Wednesdays. What's going on, brother? Hope all is well in your world.
Yes, man. What's going on, guys? Thanks for having me on.
Well, we told the fans there may or may not be a Dap rant coming today. I didn't get the pre-warning beforehand, so if so, it's just going to be off the cusp. But Auburn on a three-game losing streak in basketball. They fall to Vanderbilt last night, 84-76. And since the last time we've talked to you, Auburn is back-to-back home losses against Alabama and Vanderbilt.
Yeah, those are two in this stretch that you've kind of got penciled in that Auburn had to win. They are staring four in a row right in the face. I mean, I hate to say that, but being realistic, not to say they can't go into Fayetteville and win, but it's daunting enough to go in there and win a basketball game. And when you've already beat them and they've kind of had that one circled and they're kind of laying in the weeds waiting for you, it's very hard to sweep them. And, you know, they've had this one marked for 3 weeks because Auburn took care of business in Neville. So that's the disappointing part, is you want to – it's supposed to be such a home court advantage. And all the mystique of the jungle and all that, and now you've dropped three home games, Texas A&M, Alabama, and Vanderbilt, all of which were very winnable. I mean, you were right there. You led against Alabama by double digits. You probably got the winning shot off against Texas A&M. and you came back a couple times against Vanderbilt to get it within, you know, three or four, just couldn't get over the hump. So it's frustrating, and I think this team is definitely at a crossroads right now. I think that if they lose Saturday, they are definitely on the bubble as far as the NCAA tournament, and they're going to have to go on a little bit of a winning streak. But the good news is the schedule gets a lot more manageable after that.
Daryl, you brought up the environment, and not to throw you into the fire, but again, Tom Hart and Dane Bradshaw also had comments last night about the overall environment in Neville Arena, the jungle not being what it usually was, even called out some of the students for hitting the exits a little bit early. I mean, what are your overall thoughts on hearing things like that, knowing that's not what it's accustomed to, but when guys like that make their trip once a year to Neville Arena, doesn't necessarily hype up what is supposed to be one of the toughest environments to play in the country?
I'll say it. It's been less than hostile. It's not what it has been in years past. In the games that I've been, I've noticed a lot of empty seats. I've noticed the student section not being as rabid, as loud. I just think that there has been some sort of downward tick this year, and I hope and pray that the jungle's enthusiasm and the jungle's that the way they sold out and the way they, you know, absolutely were rabid is not because of Bruce. Did they feed off of Bruce Pearl's personality and what he brought? You know, it's one thing when you start to come up and you start to make that ascension, there's a lot of people that want to jump on board. There's a lot of enthusiasm. There's a lot of passion as you're on the way up. Once you've maintained a certain level, the sustainability part, people start to jump, unfortunately, off the bandwagon. And, you know, this fan base has been kind of spoiled. I go back to the year that Auburn kind of squeaked into the NCAA tournament. They beat Iowa in the first round, and then they lost to Houston in Birmingham. That team got to the NCAA tournament because the way it held home court and the way the home fans came out. I remember particularly against a must-win game late in the season against Tennessee, and that place was just electric. I have not seen it that way yet this year, like it has been years past. And like I said, I hope that's not tied directly to who the head coach was.
Well, there's a lot of drama around that, but Auburn not winning games in there recently doesn't help that fact either. They're now their third home loss in SEC play this season, and of course their third in a row. And want to talk about the game in particular from last night as we've got Daryl Daprich of Locked On Auburn and the Barn with us here on ESPN 106.7. What did you see last night from this Auburn team where they let Vanderbilt get hot early, Auburn had to play from behind the entire way, and they come up short against a good Commodores team?
Auburn had a lot of metrics that lead to them winning that basketball game. You know, they were better points in the paint. They did a good job getting to the free throw line. They were pretty decent shooting the three. I think the rebounds, like I said, were fairly even. They did a really good job in a lot of key areas. But where they're struggling for the second game in a row is their perimeter defense is terrible. And Vanderbilt and Alabama both are getting too many wide open looks. And I don't know if it's breakdowns, if it's not switching properly, if it's not fighting through screens, if it's lack of communication. I don't know what it is, but if you guys think about it, that same bugaboo showed up against Texas, and Texas hit everything in the first half. The difference in that game was even though Texas was getting open looks in the second half, they weren't hitting them, but they were still open. So for whatever reason, Auburn's perimeter defense has been lacking, and I think this team, it absolutely starts and ends with their defensive effort. When they're defending at a high level, they can beat anybody, and their offense feeds off that. They have not been defending well the last three or four games, and particularly at the perimeter.
And Daryl, energy was a word that has been used, especially on the defensive side of the floor. And Steven said that last night was a little bit different. He said he felt like the energy was there, the execution not so much. But all the Auburn fans noticed that there were a couple key pieces missing for the Auburn rotation in the last 8 to 10 minutes of the second half. What were your thoughts on Keyshawn Hall not really stepping onto the floor after the technical foul, and Steven saying that he was going with the guys that he felt like gave them the best chance to win down the stretch?
That's true, but I think I'd want to know why. I think we need to dig a little bit deeper. You can make a blanket statement like that and say, you know, that he went with the guys that gave him the best chance to win, and I agree with them. But why was that? Was Keyshawn Hall just off offensively? Was it a body language thing? Was he not defending the way Stephen Pearl wanted to defend? Because you cannot, unless there's something that he's doing in particular, when you're trying to cut into a double-digit lead, you need the best scorer on the floor, on the floor. And for whatever reason, he, you know, Stephen Pearl didn't think that that helped or they had a better chance. But there's got to be a specific reason why he felt that way. You don't just come to that conclusion and pull it out of the air. Something had to have happened or didn't happen for him to feel like Keyshawn Hall being on the bench gave Auburn the best chance to win, and that's concerning.
Well, somebody brought up earlier on our show, I believe it was Andy who called in early in the in today's program, Daryl, who brought up the idea that Auburn players seem to have been very emotional last night and very just kind of unhinged, I guess, is a way to put it. And I think it's been that way for several weeks now. We saw emotions and you know, Kevin Overton getting frustrated. Of course, Keyshawn Hall with the technical getting frustrated. Phillip and Murphy getting frustrated. I mean, how does the coaching staff and ultimately head coach Stephen Pearl, how do they get that reeled in? Because you take that energy to Arkansas this Saturday, you're going to get blown out and thrown out of that game.
Yeah, you've got to keep your emotions. There's nothing wrong with playing with emotion. You don't want to play emotional. And there's a difference. And I think what's happening is, I think the wear and tear of this season and playing with seven or eight guys is starting to take its toll. Minutes, you thought you would have a deeper bench. I do know there's a frustration level with some of the calls last night. But look, it's not about officiating. I mean, if you look at the statistics, the fouls were even, the free throw attempts were even. Maybe there's a call here or there that you think should go your way. I think Auburn feels like, you know, they get nothing in their own home gym. But, I mean, I'm just going to be honest, guys. It's not an Auburn problem. It's an SEC officiating problem. The SEC officials they suck. There's no other way to put it. This level of officiating in college basketball is awful. And I say SEC, it's not just the SEC. Tony Padilla in the Big 12 is horrible. There are some officials in the Big East. Now, Dan Hurley's a big crybaby, but Rick Pitino and Dan Hurley and some others have had problems. It's just the way the game's getting called is very inconsistent. That's the problem. It's not being called. If you're going to be consistently one way, if you're going to swallow your whistle, swallow your whistle. If you're going to call every little ticky-tack foul, call every little ticky-tack foul.
Yeah.
It's that officials across the nation are changing on the fly. It's like they go into halftime, they look at film, and they make halftime adjustments and say, oh, we better call. You cannot do that.
God, we talk about that all the time.
Yeah, you look up and you see that one team has
not. Yeah, it's not. I'm not saying Auburn's getting hosed. I'm saying the level of officiating across the country in a lot of different conferences is absolutely horrible. And I watch a lot of college basketball, and it's bad. It's so funny when I watch, you know, teams, fans of Arizona and Kansas talk about how the Big 12 has the worst officiating in college basketball. And I'm like, really, Pat Adams and Doug Shaw says, hold my beer, if you think that. I think the same thing, guys, let's be honest, college football officiating.
Yeah.
Atrocious this year. So I don't know. I wonder if these things trickle down, meaning we know because of some overzealous and idiotic parents that youth officiating is at an all-time low.
Yeah, it is.
Where is your training ground to become a good high school official? youth officiating. Where's your training ground to become a good college official? High school. If there's a lack of numbers there, maybe there's not a good pool of officials to get to pull from.
It's a good point with officiating, and it's such a tough job. And I'll give Stephen Pearl credit last night in the post game. He mentioned that several times. Like, they have a tough job, but with so much riding on every game, you just want them to be consistent and get it right more times than they can.
I want to say something about that.
Go ahead.
I love you to death. I am so tired, and this is not towards you. I am so tired of that myth that it's a tough job. They get extremely well compensated to be wrong 70% of the time and never have to answer to anybody in the public.
It's a really good point.
The tough job are the people that are cleaning up the arena after the game. The tough job are the people that stood outside and parked cars when it was 20 degrees. The tough job are the coaches that their families have to move when they get fired, even though they get compensated, because they have to sit there and face the media, and they have to face reporters when officials don't. They can ducktail and run into the little rooms, you know, softies, and not have to answer questions and come out and have their hair slicked back and their little pants tight and look in the monitor so that everybody on ABC and ESPN can see them and not have to answer any questions and get very, very well compensated to do it. So I get it. It's not easy, but it's not as tough as some of the other jobs, and they are very, very well compensated, and they don't have to answer to anybody.
Darrell Dappert of Locked On Auburn in the Barn with us here on ESPN 106.7. One more question before we let you go, my friend.
Sure.
Arkansas this weekend, then the stretch of Mississippi State, Kentucky, Oklahoma, Ole Miss, LSU, and Alabama. Heading into the game on Saturday, Auburn right now still flirting with a 9 or a 10 seed somewhere out there in bracketology, depending on which one you look at. What does Auburn need to do in these final 7 games in your mind to be solidified for the tournament and have a favorable seed?
4-3.
Okay.
Just get to 9 wins. Just get to 9 wins, and you'll be a 7 or an 8 seed. With this schedule that they played overall, and I think 4-3 is very doable. I think it's going to be tough Saturday, and then they're going to have to go on a little bit of a stretch there where they go 4-2 down the stretch. But they can do that. They did that earlier in the season. So that's what I foresee happening.
Well, there's some opportunities out there for Auburn basketball, again, starting this Saturday at Arkansas, 7:30 in Fayetteville. Darrell Dappert, we appreciate you, my friend, taking the time as always. Plug it all really quickly, and we'll let you get out of here.
Wednesdays and Fridays, Locked On Auburn, wherever you get your podcasts, and on YouTube, and then live right after basketball games, we go live.
Awesome. Appreciate it, my man. Enjoy the rest of the week. We'll do it again next Wednesday.
All right. Take care, gentlemen.
Darrell Dappert, check him out wherever you get your podcast and all that good stuff. And he does a great job. And look, I totally understand the points that he is making about Auburn in particular. Christian says 4-3 over the next stretch. We had someone text in earlier. They said win 4 of your next 7. They said 4-3. Yeah. And I guess in that question, we can kind of pose it again and take a break and come back and discuss it some more. But I don't know, man. I was this way before the 3-game losing streak, and I'm not changing the way I think here because I don't want to. I want Auburn to beat good teams. Again, let's say Auburn loses Saturday against Arkansas. A win on the road in Starkville next Wednesday night doesn't make me feel better.
Yeah, we can convince ourselves that it's a good win because it's been a relatively tough place for Auburn to play.
And coming off of whatever the losing streak is.
But in reality.
Yeah, if you beat Arkansas and then add a win against Mississippi State, cool. That's back-to-back road wins in the SEC.
Yeah.
Not a lot of teams can say that they've done that. Auburn can't. Actually, they can. I take that back. They beat Ole Miss and Florida back-to-back, which is impressive to do. Most teams can't say that in SEC play. But if you come home and then lose to Kentucky and Neville, but you go to Norman on a Tuesday night and win, those aren't even. Those don't make each other, they don't balance out. They don't wash each other away. And so I know that it's easy in this conversation to say, 7 games, what do you need to do? Oh, win 3 of them, win 4 of them, win 5, win them all. I'm saying Auburn needs to beat good teams as of late to prove to me they are a tournament team. Because, look, I'm sorry. You beat St. John's. That's a great win. One of the best in the country right now. Do you remember the date of that game? November 26th. Look at the difference in these two teams right now. Look at the different directions that Auburn and St. John's are going in. The Red Storm's trying to clinch a 2 or 3 seed in the tournament. Auburn's trying to make the tournament. That's the difference. That's why I want Auburn to beat good teams right now, because they're a different basketball team than they were in that game.
Yeah. Not every win is weighted the exact same. And
they shouldn't be.
No. And 3 wins against teams that are dragging in the SEC right now doesn't make up for 2 wins against teams that are going to be higher than you in the tournament.
Yeah. So we appreciate Daryl for joining us as he does every Wednesday. We'll take a break. We'll come back and talk some more basketball, start flirting with baseball a little bit too. We got, 35 or so more minutes here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line. Stick around.
This is Amber from Amber and Ian. You're listening to On the Line with Jacob Goins on Auburn Opelika Sports Leader ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. If you want to be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067.
We continue on here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line. Thanks to Daryl Dappert of Locked On Auburn in the Barn. Joins us every Wednesday, 3:05. And we talked to him about all things Auburn basketball. And while the mood may not be the brightest around here, around college basketball, we mentioned all the good games that happened last night, Christian, but some more good ones tonight where we talked to Jordan Hill of Dogs 247 in the first hour. I mean, probably the best game in the SEC tonight is Georgia hosting Florida, the 14th-ranked Gators in Athens as 8.5-point favorites.
Yeah.
Crazy. Georgia went from a top 20 team to now hovering on the bubble. Their last 4 by, they're a 10 seed right now in the NCAA tournament.
Which is funny because we asked many times when Georgia was playing its best basketball with Jordan, he kept the mentality of, this team's trying to make it to March again, trying to, you know, maybe make it, maybe win a game if you can, maybe make it to the second weekend. And we almost had the conversation of, is that really it? Is that really what you're, is that really what the expectations are? And then we asked him.
We're coming full circle.
Yeah, we asked him a couple of weeks ago, and he said, yeah, things might be changing just a little bit, because now if you only make the tournament, it might be seen as a little upsetting, and now you're almost back to the point of, we're trying to make it into the postseason. And again, this is going to start with a really, really big contest. Again, 4 of their next 5 games, looking at Georgia, are quad one games. And so another really good opportunities upcoming for the Georgia Bulldogs and Mike White to try and add to that resume.
Yeah, a couple of bubble teams going at it tonight in college basketball in Columbus, Ohio. USC and Ohio State, both teams are 7-6 in Big Ten play. USC, of course, has Chad Baker. I know he's been kind of in and out of the lineup with injuries and things. He got injured a couple games ago against Indiana. That Ohio State team, disappointed in the Buckeyes. Not that it hurts my heart any, but
From the on-name talent or on-paper talent that they have.
For 2 years in a row, they've had some great players on their roster and some good portal guys, and I don't know. It just hasn't really come together there in Columbus. A top 20 team in college basketball. Clemson hosting Virginia Tech. Whew, tough. Virginia Tech, man, better watch out. I mean, they almost have a winning record in the ACC.
I was wondering where you were going with that for a second.
Man, watch out for those Hokies. But
Clemson, the 20th ranked team in the country, only 8-point favorites.
God, whatever, man.
UConn takes on Butler tonight, goes on the road, and UConn's been winning, but it hasn't necessarily been.
They've been flirting
pretty
with danger.
Yeah, they have. Texas Tech takes on Colorado, and the number 2 team in the land, Michigan, takes on Northwestern. 2-11 in Big Ten play.
Don't forget Alabama in Oxford tonight, too. Sneaky good one. No ranked teams there, but big implications in the conference. We'll take a break, come back, and we're talking baseball right after this.
We're halfway through hour number 2. You've got 30 more minutes of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
We've got 30 more minutes here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. He is Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins. And phone lines are open once again. If you'd like to be a part of the show, we'd love to hear from you. 334-321-1390. Again, that number, 334-321-1390. Or you can shoot us a text in the On the Line text box at 334-784-1067. And we shift our focus to a topic we had yesterday, a topic we'll have tomorrow, and a topic we will have on Friday as well. And for the foreseeable future, Auburn baseball gets started in, can I do math on the fly? No, I can't. 50 hours. We're 50 hours away from the start of Auburn baseball. 5:30 on Friday.
Yeah. Nice work.
That's pretty good.
That's nicely done.
That is. That's pretty good. 50 hours away from the start of Auburn baseball at Plainsman Park as the Tigers welcome in Youngstown State. 5:30 on Friday, 6 o'clock on Saturday, and 2 o'clock on Sunday afternoon.
Total side note, we totally forgot to ask Daryl Daprich about Marcell Ozuna and the Pirates.
Oh, man. I'll text him right now. I'll text
yes,
him.
Yes, please.
Dude, we totally from the Pirates. Forgot.
That's really upsetting. We didn't want to keep him on. We could tell not feeling great was Mr. Daryl Daprich, but we got to get some sort of
we totally
reaction for Marcell going to Pittsburgh. But, again, Auburn baseball in action this weekend, taking on Youngstown State. And not necessarily the biggest Auburn conversation right now, but, man, just looking at the SEC baseball as a whole. Because, my goodness, you hear all about it in football. You've heard about it in basketball, especially last year, of it's the best conference in this sport. It's the best conference in college football, the best conference in college basketball. And those sometimes shift to other conferences.
Fluctuate a little bit, yeah.
I'm going to go out on a limb here. It's a relatively safe limb to say that I think it's safe to say that college baseball is the best in the SEC. Did you get a response?
I did. I texted Darren. I said, we totally forgot to ask you your thoughts on Marcell Ozuna going to the Pirates. He laughed at the message and said, meh.
Yeah.
M-E-H, meh.
It's fair.
That's about as good of a reaction as you're going to get from any Pirates fan for Marcell Ozuna joining them.
I mean,
I don't know. I mean, can't hurt the Pirates.
I was kind of at the point of, yeah, it feels relatively risk-free at this point.
How long was the deal? Was it a one-year deal?
I think so.
I may be mixing up my deadline stuff here, but for Marcell
It is
Ozuna.
1 year, $12 million.
They're paying him $12 million. Oh, my gosh.
As the team looks for a playoff push.
I mean, he has playoff experience. You at least got that going for you.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, gosh. Yes, yeah, they'll pay Ozuna $10.5 million in 2026, a $16 million option in 2027 that has a $1.5 million buyout.
I have a feeling I know how that goes.
Wow. To also a total side note, in case you were wondering, the Pirates GM did address Marcell Ozuna's domestic violence cases.
Oh, gosh.
This is a Sports Illustrated article from 2 hours ago.
Because I'm sure somebody asked about it. I'm sure somebody asked the question, how do you feel, or why did you discuss his off-field situation? How do you feel about signing somebody with the past or whatever?
Trying to get
a clickbaity answer. What'd he say?
He says, quote, first of all, behavior that would lead to any sort of consequence, so like a suspension or whatever, is totally unacceptable. The behavior itself that leads to those things is unacceptable and is not tolerated, will not be a part of our culture, period. He then said, when those things have happened in an individual's past, we're doing as much work as we can to possibly assess the situation as a whole, and goes on to some of the details that they look at, and then says, and ultimately we make the assessment on, is this person someone who will come into our environment and contribute positively?
I mean, it's about as good of an answer as you can give.
On the field, Marcell Ozuna is a fantastic teammate. I mean, that has never been
I don't think that's ever been questioned.
No. And so, from that standpoint, I mean, he's going to be somebody that boosts the locker room just from the standpoint of he's one of those guys that, I mean, you see so many of them in the major leagues that just genuinely are so happy playing the game.
Yeah, and so, again, we joke about it, but, yeah, that was Darryl's reaction was meh. So, back to Auburn baseball, as, again, they open up the season on Friday at Plainsman Park with Youngstown State. And some news that we got today from Auburn baseball, we've got the starters set for the first series of the weekend. And very excited for some familiar names, but then a new name that Auburn is very excited to start using, and so many new names in that pitching staff this year that Auburn brought in through the portal. Again, we talked to Butch Thompson yesterday here on the show about that, the head coach of Auburn baseball. If you missed it, go back and listen to the podcast at ESPNAU.com. But Youngstown State coming in this weekend, Marciano Friday, Sanders on Saturday, Petrovic on Sunday.
Three new names. Three exciting names.
Very
Auburn
exciting.
Tigers that will take the mounds. Again, Coach Thompson talked about Marciano being that Friday night guy. Again, a lefty from Michigan State should be a whole lot of excitement.
Virginia Tech.
Again, yep. Yes. Yeah.
It's so easy to get these guys because you've got Virginia Tech, Western Kentucky. You've got so many guys have come in from.
Who was the one from Michigan State?
Brewer. Garrett Brewer.
That's right.
The lefty.
Okay.
Yep.
But that's what I remember, the lefty. Mm-hmm. Lefties on the mound.
Yep.
But seeing the talks and hearing the talks about all three of these guys, it's going to be really, really exciting. And again, not even diving into the lineup quite yet, because you don't know exactly what that's going to look like. You would imagine by the time we go on air on Friday, we'll have the initial lineup, and we'll be able to dive into what those nine guys are going to look like. And Butch Thompson talked a lot about it, saying it's honestly unfair right now because there are 13 or 14 guys that you could rely on to go at some spot in the field and some spot in the batting lineup. And so our job over non-conference play, whether that's this weekend or just over the next couple of weeks before you go to Arlington, after you go to Arlington, before SEC play starts, is to figure out, he used the word synergy, get that synergy, figure out who works best where, so that way everybody's pushing in the right direction.
Yeah, super cool to see Jackson Sanders getting the start on Saturday, a guy who's here locally. I mean, attended Valley High School, right? I mean, that's literally here in the area. So I'm going to get the start on Saturday, and then, yeah, Alex Petrovic on Sunday. And, you know, we talked to Butch a little bit about what they were looking for as a staff, as a team this weekend, and it's opening weekend, it's Youngstown State, but baseball is one of those where rust is a thing, and not playing baseball really, it does take a little bit to kind of get your motor running and kind of get your gears in the right spot and just get yourself in the right mentality. But for Auburn, I think this weekend and probably the first couple of weeks is, how many guys can you use? How many dudes do you get in the game on the mound? How many guys can you get in the batting order? How many guys can you get on the field this weekend? You want to see what your rotation is, and you do want to see what you have in the tank, but you do want to see also what you have depth-wise with a lot of young guys on this team.
Yeah, again, it's a fantastic problem to have for Coach Thompson right now. Of last year, he was saying that we put a couple guys in spots that we didn't really love, but it's because we didn't have the depth to put them elsewhere. And so now if you have multiple spots where you can put a couple different guys in right or left field, you can put a couple different guys at first or third, you can platoon guys with lefties and are in the lineup, or go to certain guys that you feel like it does, there's not some sort of drop-off based off of what side of the plate they stand off. I mean, there's a lot of excitement for this team right now, and I'm really, really excited. Again, we got to talk with Coach Thompson yesterday, which we've mentioned, but being able to dive into the hitting and the pitching side of things with some of these staffers and the players as we go along and work our way into baseball season is really, really exciting because, yes, you mentioned it, it's the first weekend of the year, and pitching generally has a little bit of the upper hand early on in this season. Now, again, velocity is probably the biggest factor of that velocity and location, because the thing that you cannot allow right now is free passes, because that's when things are really going to hurt you. And so we always talked about it. Week one, it's very, very simple on the mound, in the field, and at the plate, and it is literally taking care of the little things. And that's something that Coach Thompson has talked about over the past couple of years, in specifics on making sure that we still prioritize the little things, right? Mm-hmm. The routine 4-3 ground outs, right? Getting that extra bag, dirt ball reads, getting ahead in the count. The best pitch in baseball is strike one. Regardless of how it looks, the best pitch in baseball is strike one. So getting ahead, when it's 1-1, 2-2, win those evens to continue to give yourself the advantage. We've talked about the strike percentage that Coach Thompson is wanting, and so you would imagine that will be a big topic of conversation this weekend. So a lot of excitement at Plainsman Park here coming up this weekend.
And hopefully for our listeners of this show and across the station here at ESPN 106.7, hopefully we have a lot of baseball fans listening. And even if you're not a diehard baseball fan, right, you can be a casual viewer, a casual listener. Hopefully we can help you there, I guess. Hopefully we can kind of expand your knowledge a little bit. And if there's a year that you want to commit to Auburn baseball, if last year didn't do it for whatever reason, hosting a regional, first ever super regional at Plainsman Park, the additions and the big names, if last year didn't do it, I'm telling you right now, this is the year you need to buy into this program. Doesn't mean they're getting to Omaha, because it's one of the hardest postseasons to make. Right, one of the hardest runs to achieve in college sports. But I'm telling you, this will be a fun season. I can't obviously guarantee how good they're going to be, but this will be a fun team to watch.
Yeah, again, we have our buddy Jack Hutton, who does a lot of the analytics for Auburn baseball, and again, Auburn High softball after the game. All sorts of things here with us, but he's texting us excited about the baseball season. And you're talking about, again, bringing guys along for the ride. I know we brought you up a little bit last year. Now you're fully on board with both of us. And so, again, to any of the listeners, just come along for the ride, and hopefully we can do the exact same thing. It should be a whole lot of fun. And, I mean, there's some lineup possibilities that really, really bring a whole lot of excitement. Jack texted us and said it's also the best lineup that Butch has had on paper in his time here.
So between the lineup and the pitching rotation, we could treat those conversations in baseball, and we do off air a lot, but those are conversations the same way we treat wide receiver rotations or running back rotations or offensive line rotations. It's like there's no wrong answer. There's just a more right answer, and you have to figure it out depending on the day, the series, the team, the situation, right? And so that's what makes baseball so much fun. And February baseball is stressful because Auburn's going to take a loss here or there, and it's like, oh, you lost to Cincinnati or you lost to, you know, somebody, and it's like, really? But baseball's just
there's
a different
so many,
man.
So many things that.
Sport.
That go on. And again, the road team gets hot for three innings, and they put one guy on the mound that shuts you down and shoves for six innings. Or again, it's just one of those, all right, things didn't go necessarily the way that we wanted the game before. Yes, we won, but now let's mix it up a little bit, right? A little bit of a different rotation. Let's put a couple different guys in different spots in the lineup, and that's why, again, that synergy word that Coach Butch Thompson uses is ever so important to make sure that you get guys 1-9, even 1-12 or 13, just because there are so many guys that you can put in the batter's box. And then again, on the mounds, the new guys on the mounds, the returners that are in the bullpen that are able to do their jobs in relief or go in there and eat a couple of innings if the starter can't get you more than maybe five or six innings. So many different guys that have a bunch of different roles, and so being able to figure out your roles on this team is going to be really special.
All right, we'll take our last break here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line. I'm out. I'm heading to Auburn High School. Leaving right now. Get a few minutes head start to get over there. Christian's going to plug my broadcast for me, so appreciate that
maybe.
Area. He might. I don't know. I can't tell him what to do. I can't control him. I'm not here. So
the Lee Scott Sports Network, baby.
Y'all aren't doing anything tonight. I'm heading to call area tournament basketball for the Auburn High Tigers. So Christian will close out the show when we come back right after this.
This is Coach Larry Vickers, and you're on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin on Auburn Opelika Sports Leader, ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. Online at ESPNAU.com and on the Radio Alabama app.
Winding down here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line. Jacob Goins says peace out to the studio. Christian Griffin here taking you the rest of the way here, wrapping up here on the show today. Jacob, again, you mentioned it's Auburn High basketball in action tonight. Only one game for the Lady Tigers, taking on Opelika at home. It was the Auburn High School girls that are able to host the area tournament, and so they will take on Opelika tonight at 5. They are the first game here tonight, the game after, which is nice from the Jacob standpoint. As you know, there is going to be a specific time that everything gets started. And so girls taking on Opelika tonight. Make sure to catch in. He'll be on around 4:45 or 4:50 on 96.3 WLEE, 963WLEE.com, and that Radio Alabama app. The boys will go to Central tomorrow to also take on Opelika tomorrow night, and those two teams split the regular season. And so basically the best of three series comes down to the wire, win or go home from here on out. Again, for the 1 through 6A, as it stands right now, as there will not be a 7A next year, but as it stands right now, 1 through 6A has already had all of their area tournaments, and so 7A, there's a lot less teams, and so there's basically one less week that goes on, and so by next week, we will have everything matched up. That is the reason why Lee Scott Academy has their sub-regional games this weekend, where the girls take on Childersburg at home inside Sanford Gymnasium on Friday night, and then on Saturday evening, the boys welcome the Ultimate School from Birmingham. And so should be a really, really fun matchup, especially that Lee Scott-Childersburg game. Again, those teams met early in the season. It was the second game of the year, the first game that I actually called of this season for Coach Corey Harrison and the Lee Scott varsity girls, and they fell on the road at Childersburg. And so now they get to welcome them back home into Sanford Gymnasium. Should be a whole lot of fun. But again, 96.3 WLEE, or 96.3 WLEE, 96.3 WLEE.com, and that Radio Alabama app. And while we have just a minute or two before the music kicks me out of here, again, just wanted to dive into the top 25, the preseason top 25 for college baseball on ESPN. And it's just absolutely absurd of how good the Southeastern Conference is. And a name that I totally forgot about and forgot the news of until going on and clicking onto this link is the fact that Tony Vitello is no longer at Tennessee. He is with San Francisco with the Giants. It is Josh Elander at Tennessee. And so how will they look with the new squad? But just diving through this, LSU is the number two team in the country, Texas the number three team, Mississippi State at 4, Arkansas at 7, Auburn at 9, working our way down. A little bit of some little dip with the SEC, but then it picks right back up at 13, so I guess a four-team dip. 13 for Florida, Tennessee at 14, Georgia at 15, Kentucky at 18, Vanderbilt at 23rd, and Texas A&M at 25. And so, although we are not very big fans of preseason rankings, we understand that that really has absolutely no validity with the amounts of movement that happens every single year in just about every single college sport. How nice is it that Auburn is now in that mix, getting a whole lot of love on the D1 baseball side of things, the perfect game side of things. A whole lot of baseball to be excited about here inside Plainsman Park here coming up, starting this weekend. And again, we'll be able to talk a lot more about that here coming up tomorrow's show and on Friday. And you know we're excited for Monday to be able to recap everything. We're excited for, man, college baseball, the Major League Baseball season, everything coming up here in just a little bit of time. Don't miss it. Tomorrow's show, we have Brad Law of the Auburn Sports Network joining us at 2:30, Chris Gordy at 3:30, and a lot of time for you. 334-321-1390, as always. And we're back tomorrow. For Jacob Goins, I'm Christian Griffin. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you later.